Hey now, it's Mike Gilbert, host of the Mike and JD Show, right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Join JD by God Oliva and myself every Thursday night live on the Voices of Wrestling YouTube channel at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we stay up all night discussing all the hottest stories in professional wrestling. You can also check us out right here on the Voices of Wrestling podcasting feed, or you can subscribe to the Mike and JD Show feed. Now, enjoy the show.
Hello there, friends. While you wait for the Victory Road 2006 episode of You've Got to Be Kidding Me, which will be coming in August, a special episode, our 50th episode of the podcast, and there'll be a special cherry on top of that one, too. That'll make it a first time ever, I guess, a small first time ever, a fun first time ever for our podcast. You can look forward to that in August. To tide you over while you're waiting, here's a preview of our Patreon series on Wrestling Society X. This is our first episode of that series for free. If you would like to listen to the whole series is available at patreon.com/kiddingme, where you can subscribe, listen to the entire series, listen to our Ring Cat King series, our PWG series, our Rain Takers series, our Monday Night Wars series, and our Lucha Underground series, all of them, multiple extra series, all sitting there on patreon.com/kiddingme, tnhad.com, as well as our watch alongs and everything else. But without further ado, here is our first episode of our Wrestling Society X series. Welcome everybody to a brand new series here on the Voices. The Voices?
On the Voices of Wrestling Patreon.
Yeah, we actually take a cut of all of their money. They don't know that exists, that's the deal, but we actually do. We just siphon money away. On the You've Got to Be Kidding Me Patreon, I'm Garrett. You already heard Liam. We're talking about Wrestling Society X. How you doing, Liam?
I am good. I am excited to talk about WSX. I think we are technically the official podcast of WSX now.
Yeah, that Twitter account officially endorsed us.
Yeah, so we're comfortable calling this the official Wrestling Society X review podcast.
Yeah, we have been endorsed by the company. They've given us multiple name suggestions, none of which we're actually using.
Review it for her was just too good.
Yeah, we had some decent options, because like we had X Gun Give It To You, which you workshopped into WSX Gun Give It To You, which was our front runner after. I like We Live in a Society, but I'll always lose these things. And then someone did say review it for her, and review it for her is it's perfect.
It's too good, perfect name. And it's also like the most notable thing to come out of it. So I was like, yeah, let's go.
Like Andrew Ritz suggested Wrestling Society Examined.
Ooh, that's fun.
Griffin suggested Wrestling Society X Patreon Review Show, which is perhaps a little on the nose.
That one doesn't flow as well, but hey, I respect it. It's the one that will make you understand it the easiest.
Yeah, Nathan Moore suggested Ridiculousness, the Wrestling Society X story, which is an MTV joke. And yes. A suggestion of 10 hours for $3.6 million, the WSX story. Multiple options. But yeah, review it for her is just, the second I saw review it to her, I sent it to you. It's like, yeah, yep, that's the one. That's the one. The name of the show.
And we should try and contact the ring announcer and get them to say it like a WSX ring intro.
Oh, like the big like Circus Barker ring intro they do.
Review it for her.
Before we get into the Wrestling Society X of it all itself, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm watching all of the Scream movies.
Oh, I like the Scream movies.
Maybe the most consistent horror franchise ever.
Like the fourth one's pretty bad.
No,
but all the other ones are really
better
good
than the third one.
I don't remember the third one really.
The third one's the worst. The fourth one's rocks.
The most recent one is fantastic. The movie rules.
Yeah, 5's pretty good. I have some problems with it, but 5's pretty good.
Scream. I saw frickin' Halloween Ends yesterday.
I also watched Halloween Ends. I love it. I think it's a great movie.
I think it's, like, diabolical.
Diabolical?
It's so bad.
You're insane. It's such a great end to the franchise.
It's like an unfathomably bad movie. Like anything good about the first one he made in 2018 was clearly an utter fluke, given how bad the other two were.
No, you're wrong. Halloween Kills sucks. Halloween End rules.
Oh, it's such a terrible movie.
I love the theme of the town being a victim of Michael Myers. I love how it comes full circle. The last 30 minutes are the best 30 minutes in the franchise. Just great, great stuff.
Oh, terrible, awful.
I don't know if you think this is a bit for me, but it isn't. I love that movie.
Oh, I just enjoy the fact that you're like, screw John Carpenter's movie. This is the best it's ever been.
No, I said it's the best 30 minutes, and that's because it basically is the John Carpenter Halloween. Like, it's the most, like...
Oh, that's like the biggest blasphemy you could possibly say about this movie.
Oh, right, Halloween 1 and 2 are great, but let's not pretend the fucking rest of them are high art.
I like Halloween H2O. I think that film's stupid and fun.
Yeah, this is better than it.
No, it's not.
It 100% is. You're insane.
This is the first movie I have ever given a quarter star to on
You're
Letterboxd.
You're fucking insane. I gave 4.
Oh, God.
This movie, it's a wonderful movie. I went to the cinema. I had a fantastic time watching it. It has the best opening in a horror movie ever. Which I cackled loudly in the cinema as it happened.
You are making very bold claims.
The
about
only
Halloween
negative
ends.
Of that movie is that... It
ends?
Yes. is that Halloween ends?
Halloween
no, that first opening
forever.
Scene is hilarious.
Well, spoiling it. It is one of the... No, it's not. It's not. It's fine.
No,
I was going to
so
even say it's good.
Fucking
it's
fucking funny.
It's a very bad movie.
It's a great movie.
It's a very bad movie.
You're fucking wrong.
I don't know. I think you're the outlier here, pal. I think most people think the
movie
stinks.
Oh, okay. I'm glad that most people... As if most people don't think things are... most people don't have wrong opinions.
Yeah, I know you.
No, you. No, you!
So bad. Oh, God. Anything else?
I don't know. You're bad at reviewing movies. That's about it.
Well, at least I wrote... Did you write a Letterboxd review?
I think I said this shit bangs or some shit. I don't know.
Some frickin' young person review that's just like, yeah, slaps, bro.
Yeah, basically.
As opposed to a deep, thoughtful review.
Yeah. I know, it's awesome. It's a great movie.
With the opening line of more like, Halloween ends any interest in the franchise, am I right? Because it's terrible.
It's not bad. You know what's funny? It's like, I get, like, there's one thing about that movie that I can understand and complain about, but for the most of it, I'm like, this is great.
No, it's just there's no tension or drama. None of the
kills it's not scary. It's not a scary movie at all.
Like, all of the kills are he just walks around and kills people.
Yeah, awesome.
Just, and not even in good ways. He just slits throats. It's like, come on.
No, the fucking Radio Shack kill was awesome.
No, it wasn't. The one I'll give them was the super car run over and then he tortures a dude's face.
That was awesome.
Okay, I'll give you that one. But the rest are just like, he just walks in and stabs people.
Oh, no, not stabbing people.
Not even elaborately or with tension. Just like he just does it and they're dead. Yeah. That's all that happens.
It's a playground for him now.
They build into that fucking fight between the two for 45 years. It was a 5-minute brawl over immediately. Which is the inherent problem with everything after that first movie. Is that all they have left is that 5-minute brawl and they built fucking 2 movies around it.
And it was great. It was a perfect payoff.
Awful, bad movie, bad movie, terrible movie.
I like how I gave long answers about how much I loved it, and you were just like, it's bad though.
I literally just talked for 2 minutes about the various ways in which it's bad, and then
your complaints were the kills weren't interesting enough.
Yes, it's a slasher movie, and the kills sucked.
But you're wrong. have you considered the fact that like you're wrong about that statement though?
Your complaints were that one of the central ideas of the movie weren't interesting.
So you're just one of these nerds who all want the high spots. You don't
no,
care
no,
about
the
build.
No, the themes are the worst. The themes are... there's no... That's the problem. There is no build. There's no tension. And that's all the first movie was. The first movie was build. But, God, the fucking themes of the last one being like, the town is the monster. And now the themes of this one's like, the town creates the monster.
Yeah, the town creates the monster because it's a town that's been tormented by a fucking ghoul.
But no, they
everyone
created
is,
the ghoul.
Everyone has is stricken with PTSD.
Maybe if they didn't give him mean stares, Liam, he wouldn't have killed everybody.
Well, maybe if Michael Myers didn't slaughter everyone for a decade, people wouldn't give people mean stares and not trust anyone.
Wow, you're putting the movie over and you didn't even get it.
I don't want to do this podcast anymore.
Let's move on to something objectively good. Let's talk about Wrestling Society X.
Fucking, yeah, what? Intro it, go.
So, Wrestling Society X, in case you've never heard of it, they shot a pilot in very early 2006, then signed a bunch of people to contracts, except Delirious, who's like, no, I'm not signing a deal that's like, you will have me under contract for as long as you want if this thing goes the series.
This really is the Lucha Underground prelude. in every way.
In so many ways, in terms of just vibe and editing and talent, it's just like, oh, this is, it's so Lucha Underground.
And even the contracts.
Yeah, maybe not quite 7-year contracts, but they did sign a bunch of dudes through a bunch of contracts, which, if you ever played a TEW game in like 06, 07, very annoying.
Mm.
All those dudes signed to freaking Wrestling Society
X. Unless you're playing as Wrestling Society X.
It's like, no, I want my Jack Evans. Why is he signed to a written deal with Wrestling Society X? So they shot that pilot in early 06. It eventually went to series in early 07. And it was a complete flop. Cancelled before it even finished. They didn't even run the last episode. It was only released via DVD. But if you watch it, it fucking rocks. It's the best television show of all time. It is the most crazed, frenetic, insane-paced wrestling show you have ever seen in your life, which is such a stark contrast from this. For the last Patreon series, you watched GFW, and recently we've been watching mid-2004 TNA, both of which are like slow, nothing happening, boring shows. And then you watch, like, there's more that happens in like 10 seconds of the Rumble on that first episode of Wrestling Society X than happens in the entire month of August of TNA.
It says the pacing that people pretended Dynamite did.
Dynamite gets close. Excalibur speaks faster than Wrestling Society X happens. You mentioned to me, I'm going to steal your point, I'm going to say it before you can, that Wrestling Society X is the version of pro wrestling that people like use in like fake pro wrestling in movies.
Yeah, it's like if there was a sitcom and there was a scene where people were sitting down and watching pro wrestling, Wrestling Society X would be what was on the screen.
Yeah. And they turned that into reality, and yeah, it just rocks. It's,
and it's
so
awesome.
Good.
It has like a bunch of great talent in it.
That's the thing. It's all like the LA scene from 06. So you get a bunch of cool guys, plus all the hot indie guys, plus some Dragon Gate dudes. Because why not?
Why the fuck not? And everyone's just doing flips and going a million miles an hour, and hardcoring it up. You know, it honestly is. To bring it back to another theme, it is what they pretend the Florida promotion in heels is.
Except that's TNA footage.
But it's like, it should have been this footage, because this is what it is.
It's interesting to see how like insanely edited the show is. Like, they clearly, I'd imagine, like the opening match is Matt Sydal versus Jack Evans. We'll talk about it in a sec more deeply. But like, I'd imagine they probably had a 7 or 8 minute match, and they cut it down to 3 with like no filler. It's just like flips, doing cool shit. The same with the Rumble. I'm sure they had a slightly longer match, and it's just like high spot, explosion, high spot, explosion.
And the explosions look great, by the way.
They do. They look so good, and it's so tempting to dunk on AEW's shitty ass explosion when you watch this show.
How did WSX get this right?
I wonder, was there any, because obviously this show is taped, was there any that like they completely whiffed on that's like, let's do it again?
Well, like, I wonder, like, because the explosions go off so well that I wonder, like, if any of them were, like, effects put in. But, like, I go back and I watch them, I'm like, it doesn't look like it.
No, it's pretty clearly, I think, in-the-moment special effects with sparks
with some shaky cam going.
Yeah, they do some of the post-production shaky cam. I don't think they do that live, they just shake the camera.
Yeah, I mean, I love it, and obviously being, like, someone who's into a lot of this era music, too, I love the guests.
Mm-hmm. Who do commentary? It's Liam's biggest tragedy that there's no version, it seems, on the internet of this show that has the concerts.
I would love to review a 3-6 Mafia concert on this show.
And, like, I think the concerts are only, like, 2 minutes at the end, but
it would have been nice to get the full experience.
The episodes do end very abruptly, because I'd imagine that is just taking out the concerts, because these are all the DVD cuts. The DVD was released, which I still have next to me over there, the Wrestling Society.
Which
X
is
DVD.
How we watch this.
Yeah, definitely, absolutely. I watched them, then I mailed it down to Australia to you to watch, and then you mailed it back to me so we can do it again for the next episode.
Yeah, it's that is the optimal way.
this is actually what your Patreon money is going toward. It's just going toward the postal service.
Exorbitant shipping fees. the whole aura of this show, I think, is so good and so unique, and it's something that I think is missing from current wrestling. I wish there was, it doesn't need to be like exactly this, but just something that doesn't look like the same show.
Yeah, because like this has a vibe, it has like an idea, it has an aesthetic, it's not the same as every other wrestling show.
You know what I kind of wish it was?
What?
I wish WWE CW was this.
Which is funny, because they went head to head.
Yeah.
For reasons passing comprehension, they're like, let's air our show head to head with one of WWE shows. Like, they could have aired it on Wednesdays. There was nothing on Wednesdays. Or aired it at, because it aired at half 10, head to head with this, or I think it was half 10. Either way, head to head with the second half hour of ECW. It's like, well, you could have aired it after ECW or before it. So yeah, you like, weren't going head to head.
Into it, you know?
A very strange idea to air it head to head with another wrestling show. Yeah, like ECW wasn't like a juggernaut, but it's still like doing a million viewers or so. That's taken away from your audience.
Like this, it really did feel like it had the bones of something really good.
Mm.
Like it could have turned into something
if they actually committed to it and didn't cancel it before it even finished its first season.
Yeah, and it's something that's always kind of stuck around in the wrestling zeitgeist, you know.
Has it?
Well, I feel like people do mention it as like that crazy MTV show when MTV got into wrestling randomly.
Mm.
It's something that I always knew about. Like some of the first, like when I was perusing YouTube looking for stuff, was random Wrestling Society X stuff that would pop up.
I was wondering, watching this, are there people who have only seen Masato Yoshino on Wrestling Society X?
Probably.
Hey, that fast guy from Wrestling Society X, that guy was good. What's he up to?
Yeah, I believe it.
So, Wrestling Society X, episode number 1, aired January 30th, 2007. Black Label Society were the guest musical act. Zakk Wylde was on commentary, who Zakk Wylde we will mention in TNA history at some point.
Oh, yeah.
There's a tease for you. You'll have to wait a few years for that one to pay off.
Of course, Zakk Wylde, most notable for Ozzy Osbourne.
let's leave Ozzy over. No.
What?
Ozzy Osbourne bad.
Whoa. Oh.
I've watched it. You see, my only exposure to Ozzy Osbourne is the Osbournes. So that's his music.
Maybe my favorite band of all time. So,
and to be fair, it's not even like a dislike of the show, the Osbournes, because him shouting at Sharon is very enjoyable. I just watched far too much of it.
Okay, so like, there was about to be another Halloween Ends fucking attack right now, and I was going to be like, fuck you. Okay, we got through this. We moved on from that, and we didn't have to go into this.
Yeah, it's not an attack on the man's musical career, just his reality television career.
Which I've never seen, so I don't care.
It's not a bad show. It's him being aloof and stupid and shouting, Sharon!
That sounds great. I don't know what your problem is.
I just watched too much of it. I grew up in an era where it was always on TV.
Oh, sounds like a you problem.
It was the ridiculousness of my era.
Ah. Aren't they doing it again?
What? The Osbournes?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think they're doing it again because, like, they're making him move to England to film it.
I kind of miss that era of reality TV shows where it was just like, it's like, I know it's technically what the Kardashians is, but the Kardashians were only famous because of that show, as opposed to, let's just stick a camera in the house of a reality or of like an actual star, like Hogan Knows Best style. And fair enough, they did like scripted antics, but they always do.
In 2022, it was announced the show would return to follow the family in the UK.
I assume it's like Paramount Plus or streaming or something, is it?
No, it isn't.
Because that's a typical streaming thing. It's just like, let's revive the Osbournes.
BBC set to bring back the Osbournes.
What?
Yep.
The Beeb are like, let's bring back the Osbournes?
Yeah.
To be fair, Sharon is like, it launched her career as like an actual star.
That people hate her because of it.
Sure. I hate Ozzy because of it.
You're like the one person who comes out of that going, you know, Sharon's pretty great, but this Ozzy
Team
guy.
Sharon.
Yeah, coming back 2022. The Osbournes also famous Raw guest hosts.
Oh, yeah.
Where, Chris Masters did the peck bounce to Crazy Train, and Ozzy loved it.
Wouldn't we all? That's Chris Mordetsky of GFW fame, in case you didn't know.
Chris Adonis of Rinka King fame.
Yes, we always have to relate everything back to Rinka King and GFW and Wrestling Society X. There is only One person who spans all three of those, I believe, unfortunately.
Jeff Jarrett.
So our commentary team was Chris Kloss and Brett Ernst.
Who are much better on the regular show and who are awful, and I fucking can't stand them on the extra show.
Yeah, because I watched the first episode and they were just the normal announce team going nuts with cool shit. And I'm like, oh yeah, they're fine. And then you watch the first extra in the Human Tornado Luke Hawks Puma match where...
just doing bits about how much they hate each other. And I'm like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, they become the standard pretending to try and be Bobby Heenan Gorilla Monsoon, except unbearably.
Yeah. It's two Kevin Gills.
It's the worst. Like, it's absolutely unbearable when... And they do more sniping at each other in the second episode, too. Because obviously the first episode was the pilot. And the second episode was, like, the actual TV tapings. So maybe it was, like, a creative choice after the first episode to be like, you guys should shout at each other.
I'm hoping they stick to it. Just being regular... commentators.
It's hideous. It's absolutely awful after the first episode.
Cannot stand it.
But that first episode, they were fine. They just did normal commentary.
Yeah, and you had Chris Wilde being like, Matt Sydal, bitch. Sorry, Zach Wilde. I don't know. I said Chris Wilde. Is Chris Wilde a person?
Chris Wilder is a person. He was once Sheffield United manager.
Chris Wilde is an American actor.
Mm-hmm. So the opening match of Wrestling Society X, they got right into the action. They were going to the opening match entrances within the first minute. Was Matt Sydal with Lizzie Valentine versus Jack Evans in even, like, excluding Wrestling Society X house style, I don't think you could have a more perfect first match for your new wrestling company than Matt Sydal versus Jack Evans.
Yeah, this is awesome. They both go out there, they kill it. I love Lizzie Valentine. She's great. Mm-hmm. I kind of love the characters that they establish immediately with these guys. There's even, like, the subtle, like, choice of having Matt Sydal kind of make it, like, a normal entrance, and then Jack just comes from the fucking rafters.
Yeah, because Matt Sydal's playing, like, a college heartthrob character, and Jack Evans is just this cool breakdance dude.
Yeah. I kind of love this, like, Lizzie Valentine character, too, where it's, like, after the match, they have this match, and she's like, disgusted by Jack Evans, but once Jack Evans wins, she's like, oh, man, this Jack Evans guy, he's kind of cool.
Yeah, she's giving him the eyes. Like, Jack Evans gives her a look, and she's like, yes, I am interested.
Yeah. Lizzie, she wants to hang out with the bad boys.
Well, Jack Evans is the babyface, so technically he's the good
boy. But he's
boy.
The bad boy, because Matt Sydal is straight-laced jock, and Jack Evans is this hip-hop boy.
He does breakdance and probably listens to rap.
Probably.
As opposed to Matt Sydal.
He used to rap.
Well, that's true, too. But that, like, hasn't been established matches. In the Wrestling Society X character, Liam. These are different people in this company.
Oh, for sure.
How will the casual fan know about his rap life?
Except for how he looks, presents himself. He's breakdancing.
Fabian Kalin is the ring announcer, and he does do the full, like, this is Wrestling Society X, and does firing up the crowd. Like, full Melissa Santos, Lucha Underground.
Yeah. It's really is crazy how Lucha Underground really bit everything from this. Even the venue!
Well, yeah, because they have the bunker here, which the idea is this is a secret society wrestling underground, some might say, as opposed to the temple of Lucha Underground.
How did you feel about the original name for WSX?
What was it?
Rancid Pro Wrestling.
WSX is much better.
Yes, it is. But I believe it would have been named after the punk band Rancid specifically, not just calling the wrestling Rancid.
Well, some of it might be Rancid. Yeah. I'm sure Jim Cornette thinks it's Rancid. Because this is kind of what he pretends AEW is, isn't it?
Yeah, a little bit.
And this is also great. It's probably better than AEW these days.
This is a lot of fun.
Also, if you have a problem with the number of cuts to people in the crowd in modern wrestling, boy, will you love them here in Wrestling Society X.
Yeah, I weirdly don't mind it, though, you know? I'm like, because I guess it's the aesthetic choice that lets it work.
The one that did annoy me in this match was the number of cuts to Lizzie Valentine.
Gotta put over the character. She's a regular MJF.
I thought that I think the thinking was, we can't go more than 15 seconds without cutting back to the attractive woman or people will tune out. So every time one of them does a move, we will cut to a Lizzie Valentine reaction shot.
And the commentary would be very mean to her.
Yeah, it was every Matt Sydal Jack Evans match you've ever seen, cut down to 3 minutes, where they just do flips, do crazy shit. Evans hits a tornado DDT off Lizzie's back, follows with the 630 to win. Your perfect sprint, as it like perfect match to kick off both what Wrestling Society X is meant to be, which is batshit crazy insane stuff. And even like if you were starting any company, you could not do better than Matt Sydal versus Jack Evans. Two guys who, at this time, didn't have any exposure. Well, Matt Sydal, actually, well, both have been at TNA, but that barely counts. Didn't have WWE exposure, were their own guys doing their own thing, and you could be like, this is what makes us cool and different, and also defines our style. Great first match.
Yeah, it's what you want, especially from a show like this.
So we had a quick feature on all the new teams coming to WSX. Then we also had a bunch of backstage promos from Justin Credible, New Jack, Teddy Hart, Chaos, and Aguilera about the upcoming WSX Rumble. So the main event of this show was a 10-man Rumble coming out in loosely defined intervals. Some of them were like a minute, some of them were like four.
Some of them were 3 seconds.
Yeah, so 10 wrestlers come out. There are two contracts hanging above the ring that people can be eliminated from the match by being thrown over the top rope to the floor. But by the time all 10 come out, whoever's left can climb a ladder and grab one of the contracts. The two wrestlers who grab a contract will face off the following week to crown the first Wrestling Society X champion.
Yeah, I think this is an interesting match style. I'm not a fan of, like, hot-shotting their first champion like this, but what are you going to do? It's a scumbag promotion with scumbag, like, weekly episodic shit that's gonna die in one season, so you might as well get it done out of the way quickly.
I don't know. Chris Kloss says they know the WSX title is the future of this great sport, so...
Maybe.
And I will say, I think I prefer it to spending the whole season crowning a champion like GFW did.
Or like, I think Lucha Underground did that too.
I think the Ring Cat King approach of like about halfway through was probably the nice middle ground there.
You need I prefer some build up, but also I don't care about the WSX title, so whatever.
You don't care about the prestige and legacy of the Wrestling Society X Championship, Liam? How?
No.
This match was batshit insane.
Yeah, it was crazy. They all did a bunch of bullshit. There's explosions. There were fucking weapons. Everything was going crazy. You had New Jack. You had the Crimson Dragon. It was crazy. What do you want from me?
You did have the Crimson Dragon, which I wonder, is New Jack mad at him because he watched his NWA TNA? He's like, I know you're Crimson Dragon. I fucking hate you. You're shitty gear.
I think New Jack just hates everyone.
There was a 14-second run in this match where Luke Hawks backdropped Chaos into an exploding barbed wire bed. New Jack did a balcony dive onto Chris Hamrick, and then Vampiro super-kicked Alcatraz off the apron through a table. All aired back to back to back. No replays, no like give it time to settle in. It's just like, no, this is what this company is. It's literally insane. It's literally the most completely insane, over-the-top, nonsense wrestling you have ever seen in your life. Everybody's falling through tables. Teddy Hart is doing moonsaults, landing on his feet, and getting super kicked. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't have to make sense. And that's... it's perfect. It's perfect pro wrestling. I love it. I like people get so wound up about pro wrestling having to be good and make sense. And I'm one of those people a lot of the time. But if you're going to do wrestling badly, which is kind of what they're doing, do it like this, where it's just stupid.
It's wrestling badly, but it's done interestingly and it's done with a lot of like speed. So who cares that it's bad? Everything's going 100 miles an hour. You're going to get sucked in regardless. Everyone's killing each other and they're all doing insane moves. So if you're like, is it like this long form of telling a story? Are we getting a fucking old Japan epic? No, but we're getting some crazy bullshit that will actually keep your attention the whole time. We're not working a fucking headlock and doing a house show match.
Yeah, because these actual episodes were 30 minutes cut there. So watching them now, they're 20 minutes, even taking out the musical act, which takes a couple of minutes off it again. So when you sit down and watch this 20-minute episode of television that has literally no downtime, like this television show is constructed from the ground up so that there is never not something happening on your screen. Like, at all times, Jack Evans is doing a flip, or Matt Sydal is doing a flip, or Lizzie Valentine is making faces, or people are falling through tables, or Teddy Hart's doing moonsaults. Like, at all times, there is something happening on your screen. That's like the modus operandi of this show. It's wrestling with the lowest attention span you could possibly put together, that... They do not want to lose a single viewer. They do not want to have a single ounce of patience. So they will just, at all times, like things are exploding. There's like 3 explosion spots in this match.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, it's just going a million miles an hour and it's keeping your attention, which is way better than what we have been watching. So I will take it.
Yeah, so like New Jack threw Chris Hamrick through a table on the floor, and that wasn't even him doing the balcony dive. So there's a lot of stuff that happens. The Youth Suicide comes out, Just Incredible eliminates Teddy Hart.
Vampiro. I like Youth Suicide because it's like he's the Kevin Cross.
Yeah, they're homegrown guy.
Yeah, they're like, this is the guy, and it's like, it's just a similar build of like, this is our young guy. This is their AJ.
Yeah, the final four left in this match are Vampiro, Six-Pac, Sean Waltman, Just Incredible, and Youth Suicide.
Yeah, so, you know, what a main event scene.
Yeah, Vampiro powerbombs Suicide into tax. The Six-Pac climbed the ladder while Vampiro was busy killing a guy to grab a contract. Youth Suicide then climbed the ladder, but then was pushed off the ladder into an explosion bed, and it exploded.
And died.
And then Vampiro grabbed the contract and won. Like, I think I'd give this match like 3.5 stars.
Yeah, I feel like I'm going to have the opposite, where it's like a lot of the things that we've been reviewing were like, don't go out of your way to watch it no matter what. And this is like, even if it's bad, go watch it because it's 20 minutes. Why not?
Yeah, it's like the pacing of the second episode isn't quite as bonkers, but the pacing of this first episode is just like, it's insane. It's so good.
Yeah.
So that means Vampiro will face Six-Pac in the main event of the second episode. We're going to cover 2 episodes per episode, by the way. We didn't mention that because these are only 20 minutes. We're doing the extras as well, which there's not a ton of meat on either. But when they're only 20-minute episodes, we'd be very, very short, I think, if we only covered 1 per episode. So yeah. We will cover 2.
We can get through it pretty quick.
So yeah, Six-Pac Vampiro is the main event of the second episode for the title. We also had WS Extra number 1, which aired on the MTV website. I went to wsx.mtv.com, and the link, it just takes you to a link not found page. It's very disappointing.
Yeah, it's upsetting.
I was hoping there'd still be a web portal there sitting on the MTV website with a bunch of WSX content.
Well, yeah, we're in the run of possibly, you know, all these things are coming back and getting revivals, so... Let's hope.
It can only happen within a Ridiculousness episode. I'm sorry, Liam.
No, I refuse.
So we had a recap on WS Extra number 1 of the Rumble and the Sydal and Evans match. Then we had a rundown of a bunch of the tag teams that are coming to Wrestling Society X, including, sadly, that 70s team, because we simply cannot escape Hollywood from Rinka King.
God, it's really funny how he just managed to be in every failed promotion ever.
It's because he was always the unsigned guy. He's like, yeah. No one ever signed him. So all of these companies are like, yeah, Hollywood from Rinka King, I guess. I did appreciate how they used Adrenaline Rush for a Filth and Fury video. Which, pandering to my TN instincts for this Matt Cross Teddy Hart tag team.
Yeah, that's an all-time indie legend tag team, isn't it?
Matt Cross, a guy I don't think ever worked TNA. Maybe he did some dark matches or something, but never meaningfully, which is... wild to think about.
It's pretty interesting. You'd think he'd be a guy who would just show up randomly.
There was a Human Tornado video, Team Dragon Gate, Do It For Her, Scorpio Sky, Trailer Park Boys, Keeping It Gangster, and Matt Classic. They all had little introductory videos here.
And when Trailer Park Boys, I keep thinking of the show.
I've never watched the show. People say very good things about the show.
It's a really good show.
You like Halloween Ends, so I'm not sure can I trust your opinions on things anymore.
Well, you suck.
Main event, Human Tornado, Lou Cox main event, it was the only match, versus Puma, 3-way match. This is where the announcers just, they hate each other now, and it's the worst. I don't know why companies insist on doing this, and it was a real, like, trendy thing where you always had to have the heel announcer, or, like, the announcer just playing characters, or the announcers doing bits, instead of just being good wrestling announcers. Just call the action and make me excited for the action. That's all I want from a wrestler. Yeah. I don't want them to be funny. I don't want them to be interesting. I just want them to make the wrestling action seem important and better. That's all you need. You're not Bobby Heenan.
I don't think heel announcers have a place anymore. I'm done with them.
Like, there were two in the 80s and 90s that were legitimately all-time good, which was Jesse Ventura and Bobby Heenan. Two of the most, like, charismatic, sharp-witted people in the history of professional wrestling. And everybody that came after, for some bizarre reason, were like, I can do what Bobby Heenan did. It's like, yeah. No, you can't. He's like one of the most charismatic, sharp-witted performers in the history of this business. You cannot do what Bobby Heenan did. You can't even do what Jesse Ventura did. And you suck. So stop trying to bite off those guys and just call the wrestling action.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad that, like, for the most part, wrestling has, like, moved on from this.
Mm.
And it's, like, just kind of a regular show now.
Yeah, you don't really get many heel announcers. Like, Taz is, like, lightly heel on Dynamite these days.
But he'll more, like, he just, like, kind of sides with the heels on things. He isn't, like, being a heel.
Yeah, he's just cracking jokes with Tony and then occasionally saying the heel is justified.
Yeah. So, more importantly, we got in this match Human Tornado.
Yeah, it was weird to watch this match in that, like, all the actual TV matches are edited down to being insane, and then this is, like, an 8-minute match, and it's just a normal wrestling match.
Yeah. I have just come off rewatching the Human Tornado, Candice LeRae, Chris Hero, PWG feud.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, Human Tornado is just, like, an unrelenting piece of shit, and it's, like, it's really intense and probably inappropriate for wrestling for the story that it tells, but it is quite a remarkable story that they do tell throughout that run in PWG. And it has the correct payoff of the good guy beating the bad guy in the end. Unfortunately, because it's 2006 and wrestling fans are pieces of shit, most of the time they side with the guy who's beating up the woman.
That is, as we learned in NWA TNA, an unfortunate, consistent part of professional wrestling from the
2000s. But like, it's not played as like a babyface thing. Like, the character is a piece of shit doing a piece of shit thing. Mm-hmm. And the crowd is still like, wahoo.
But there was even that, remember that Vince Russo promo? It's like, oh, you want me to do objectification of women? And they're like, yeah! It's like, oh. Yeah.
But it's like, you know, it also shows me, like, that feud that I'm talking about with Human Tornado. That Human Tornado can really, like, he can deliver as, like, telling an actual story and can be, like, a top-level guy. So it's really, it's like in a world where WSX continues, you wonder, like, a Human Tornado, where he would have landed in this promotion, you know?
It is. Watching this, he has a match in the second episode as well. I think it's a travesty that this dude was never a big television star.
No, he was great.
How was, like, AEW signed him? He came back this year.
I would love to see what 2022 Human Tornado actually wrestles like. I haven't seen it.
It's like, how is the man this charismatic and this good? He was never on television other than this. Ever. Never in TNA. Never in
NXT.
His
best run was PWG. Before PWG turned into, like, the hottest company in the world.
Which is the worst part of it. Yeah, he even missed the PWG boom period.
Yeah.
Like, oh, the dude should have been a huge star. It's a travesty.
Yeah, so who knows, maybe we'll see some Human Tornado coming back at some point, but it really, that dude has like charisma for days, and you feel like it should have been a guy who made it, you know?
This was a triple threat, but Puma disappeared for like over half the match. Even the announcers were repeatedly like, where's Puma gone?
He did just kind of go away, huh?
Yeah, like, I don't even remember, it was like there a spot that took him out. He just disappeared, then showed up at the end to be pinned.
Yeah.
But yeah, perfectly fine match. Human Tornado pinned Puma after a corkscrew splash.
And we'll see more Human Tornado in episode 2, which is...
Yeah. If you didn't get enough of the pseudo-Human Tornado-Luke Hawk singles match that was in this episode, let's go to episode 2 of Wrestling Society X 3-6 Mafia, where your musical guest that aired February 6, 2007. Juicy J and DJ Paul joined commentary.
I love 3-6 Mafia. 3-6 Mafia, also known for the Mark Henry theme song, of course. But my favorite 3-6 Mafia is on their Triller Versus, where they took on Bone Thugs and Harmony. And where they just legitimately started fighting on stage.
They just had a tag team brawl?
There was just one on each, and they just, like, started throwing shit at each other, and then, like, they had to leave and, like, start the show up, and, like, I was watching it live on Fight, and, like maybe, like, 15 minutes later, they're like, alright, we can go back to it now.
Were they fighting the whole time?
Yeah, well, they got off stage, and, like, so they were just hanging out on stage while they were sorting it out in the back. It was very funny.
So, tell me some Juicy J and TJ Paul facts, Liam.
I think I just did.
Tell me another one.
Oh god, now let me Google 3-6 Mafia.
Wow, you're not such a big fan that you know all about their careers and personal lives?
I don't know about their personal lives, no. I know that 3-6 Mafia, they did the song about sucking dick that was all over Vine.
Sure.
Slob on the knob like corn on the cob, lay in the bed and give me head. Classic song.
Mm-hmm.
And like Gangsta Boo was a member.
Right.
She shows up all the time. She was on that that performance against Bone Thugs and Harmony. That's my 3-6 Mafia knowledge. They are a fun group. You can always just chuck on 3-6 Mafia and be like, this is going to be some fun song. A lot of their songs are incredibly raunchy, so be prepared for that. My favorite thing about 3-6 Mafia is like the thing that started the fight or like got the tension up was like one of the Bone Thugs and Harmony's guy was like, 3-6, that's like satanic. And they're like, how dare you?
There's so many things wrong with that.
But yeah, good stuff.
Opening match, Luke Hawks faced Human Tornado in an extension of the WS Extra match. The Hawks went for a low blow, but Tornado has balls of steel, don't you know, Liam?
That's some classic PWG.
Shouldn't it still be a DQ going for the low blow, though?
What if it doesn't affect them? Did they really cheat?
But still a low blow.
Perhaps.
You still tried to cheat. I still think it's... Although this company has false count anywhere, so I don't think it even has DQs.
Yeah, but... Whatever. I'm going to say, Luke Hawks is pretty good at this point, too.
Luke Hawks was, like, the guy I liked when I first watched this on DVD.
Hmm. Luke Hawks is, like, a dude that's, like, still around.
With his son, PJ.
And, like, is, like, triple the man that he was in it back then.
Yeah, he's the guy, when I first watched this, I had no idea who Luke Hawks was. And I was like, I like this guy. I hope he pops up in other places. So even in like 2022 NWA, which is where he is these days with his son, it's like, oh yeah, Luke Hawks, look at him go.
Yeah, Luke Hawks, man. He's a good, he's always a dude that you see pop up every now and again. He was also in Logan.
Was he?
Yeah.
Who did he play in Logan?
Reaver.
Oh, good for him. I'm sure he was also
in The Fate of the Furious. He was in Wrong Side of Town with Dave Bautista and Rob Van Dam.
I hope he got powerbombed.
Probably did, to be honest.
Human Tornado did a wild dive over the top, over the front row, into the crowd.
Yeah, sweet. More Human Tornado. Like, let's get him doing stuff. Another name for our eventual show.
More Human Tornado. Let's get him doing stuff.
Yeah, I meant like booking him, but sure.
Oh, right. The WSX series. More Human Tornado. Let's get him doing stuff.
Yeah, that's a good one, though, actually. That should be the subheading for this one.
Tornado 1, Tornado DDT. Aaron Aguilera jumped Hawks after the match, even though he just lost. The Human Tornado just left, I guess. Alcatraz made the save. Chaos ran in with a ladder, and then Chaos was sent through a table. He was mad.
Awesome.
Even their post-match angles are just like nonsensical chaos.
Yeah.
We had a rerun of that Filth and Fury promo, again set to an instrumental version of Adrenaline Rush this time.
You're really into the Adrenaline Rush.
Ah, you will get to 2016A and you will also be really into Adrenaline Rush. And the match I think probably annoyed you most, that 70s team against Team Dragon Gate.
Well, the thing that annoyed me about this is that we just had a promo with the Filth and the Fury being like, I challenge any tag team in the world. And I was like, oh, cool. Then the Dragon Gate team will get the win here and then they will be the world team.
Mm-hmm.
And then, no, they don't, because Disco Machine, who is good, and his partner, beat Genki Horiguchi and Masato Yoshino, who show up and are really, really, really talented.
Yeah, Masato Yoshino is the most, like, TV-ready guy imaginable. He's just, nobody pops more on TV than that man. Both here, both in Ring of Honor, both in 2008 TNA. It's just like, that man's made for US television. It's a shame he never had a longer run.
Yeah. The best part of this match is when they broke the disco ball afterwards.
Yeah, Hollywood pinned Yoshino with a super kick. And Horiguchi's like, fuck this, I'm breaking your disco ball. We had a feature on the Trailer Park Boys. It was in their trailer park.
I like these like little backstage things. They're fun. I'm a big fan of like silly shit like this.
Yeah.
Of course, we get to see some Nate Webb.
Yeah. Explosion Zone.
That's fun.
Then main event of the show for the WSX title, Liam. It's Six-Pac versus Vampiro.
I thought this was kind of fun.
This match was kind of great.
Yeah, they kind of just beat the shit out of each other, did some crazy shit, and had one of the coolest finishes I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it is probably the beneficiary of the fact that, like, they probably went twice as long and they just cut it down. And I don't know why more wrestling companies don't do that, especially the taped ones. It's like, we're just going to air the headlock. It's like, why are you airing the headlock? Like, why? Yeah,
cut to the crowd and then come back when the headlock's done.
Yeah, just air the cool shit. Do, like, boom, 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 cool television wrestling instead of, like, even if you want to be, like, the headlock is necessary for the psychology of the wrestling match, fine. Don't air it.
Yeah, I don't know. But they know this is a benefactory of doing this. And I'm into it. Vampiro hits a fucking tombstone off of the apron into a coffin that explodes. And they don't even know who won the fucking match until Vampiro emerges. That's awesome.
Yeah, caskets brought to ringside, and they're like, ooh, it's Vampiro's trademark casket. And I love the fact that, like, the tombstone into the casket probably would have been enough. That would have been a cool spot in its own right. But nah, this is Wrestling Society X, baby. That casket has to explode.
And it was awesome. Vampiro, like, being a staple of both of this and Lucha Underground is another great connection.
There's another person he'll be wrestling that also has that connection as well.
Ooh. But, like, and Vampiro also being the guy who had, like, one of the best matches in Lucha Underground history as well.
Mm.
With, like, a legitimate 5-star match with Pentagon.
Which was probably also the beneficiary of heavy editing.
Sure, why not? Fuck it.
Because imagine if you slapped Six-Pac and Vampiro in 2007 or whenever this was actually taped. Maybe late 06, I didn't check the tape dates of the actual tapings. If you slapped that match into WWE or TNA at the time on pay-per-view, it would have been nowhere near as good as this turned out to be.
Of course. Well, unless they did the tombstone into the exploding coffin.
That's true. That would have been the best high spot in the history of the company.
Yeah, so.
How did you feel about the skull belt?
It's alright. It's a decent belt. I don't really have... I'm gonna have a closer look at it right now. But I think, for the most part, I just thought it was a pretty decent little belt, you know?
It was a big skull. Remind me of that Steve Austin skull belt?
Yeah, it does look like the Steve Austin belt. It also looks like the XWF title. But yeah, you know, I think it's pretty decent. I think it's a fun belt. I think it suits WSX a lot.
I was gonna say it fits the vibe of the brand.
Yeah, I think it's a cool belt, and I think it definitely, like, suits the whole aesthetic and it suits Vampiro as well.
Yeah, so Vampiro hit that tombstone through the coffin. It went boom, and Vampiro is your first ever Wrestling Society X champion.
Do you think we could ask the Wrestling Society Twitter to send us the belt?
Oh, I wish.
Mm.
WSX for number 2, we had a recap of the title match. Trailer Park Boys had a promo being like, we're not happy with how we've been portrayed in the Wrestling Society X. They are perpetuating stereotypes of hillbillies that we do not approve of.
Which, you know, fair.
We then had a tag team match between the Trailer Park Boys, which is Josh Jug Raymond and Spider Nate Webb, against Liam's favorite tag team, Do It For Her.
Oh, Do It For Her. I love them. It's really funny. Like, when I first discovered Wrestling Society X, maybe outside of some Side Elf stuff I did a little earlier, it was for the Do It For Her. I was a massive Jimmy Jacobs fan, to the point where I wanted to grow my hair like him. And I was wearing the Zombie Princess shirts to university. That was very cool.
And a massive Tyler Black fan?
I'm saying what I'm saying. And okay. I got to watch them do, like, the you know, they did the Hurricane Run of Doomsday. It's sweet. I was really into, obviously, the Age of the Fall stuff, and I was into them as a team, as the Age of the Fall. I had seen their stuff in PWG, so I was really into tracking down the Do It For Her stuff back then. I am obviously the emotional one, and Garrett is the intense one, much like the Do It For Her. Exactly. So, yeah, it's just a lot of fun. This is a fun team, and they have some really great promos coming up.
Yeah, so Tyler Black did a Fosbury flop. This isn't quite the television debut of Tyler Black. He debuts in TNA a couple months before this. He gets squashed by LAX. That's his television debut.
Hell yeah.
Hernandez beat the shit out of him.
I'm pretty sure they do a style of matchup later, promo style later, where, like, it's Jimmy, like, writing poetry and, like, there's nice music in the background, and then Seth comes in screaming like he's in a metalcore band, and they replace it with, like, hardcore heavy metal music.
Seems perfect.
It's a great gimmick.
Unfortunately, they lost here. Trailer Park Boys pinned Black with like a Dominator gimmick.
Yeah. I'm really upset to see them lose. I was like, come on. Because it also felt like, going back and I've seen some like YouTube uploads of stuff hyping up WSX, it felt like Do It For Her were going to be like a big focus too.
No, they're secondary to the Trailer Park Boys gimmick.
Well, I guess the Trailer Park Boys are getting an earlier push, so it makes a little sense, I guess.
And we had two matches on this. The other was Matt Classic versus Matt Sydal. By the way, Matt Classic is just a 10 out of 10 pun. Well done, Colt.
I ended up missing this match watching it now, but I actually have seen that match from a long, long time ago. And I think it's a fun little combination of seeing these guys together, and it's always nice to see, because like for a long time, you know, this was basically the only television stuff that Colt did. So
yeah, and it was like, again, it's weird to watch the actual television show, which is the most frenetically paced thing known to man, and then watch this.
When they work a damn match.
Yeah, a nice, neat and tidy 6-7 minute match between Matt or Colt Cabana and Matt Sydal doing their shtick. Sydal hits a poison rana, followed by a shooting star for the win. And it's just like, oh, they're just, it's a nice little indie match between these two very good wrestlers.
Yeah.
By the way, AEW should run back Matt Classic in 2022.
Well,
might be some different issues there, but
maybe we will bring up honor, Ken.
We had a recap of the Aguilera Hawks Alcatraz and Chaos segment from TV. Then there was a pre-tape. Chaos was mad that Aaron Aguilera didn't have his back because he's focused on his mamacitas.
Which he was like, come on, man, I'm talking to my mamacitas.
And that's set up for the next episode, which we'll talk about in the next episode, podcast episode. A table or TLC match, Liam. A tables, ladders, and cervezas match between the two teams for the next episode of television. No notes. <Perfect. laughs> There was also a little 3-6 Mafia Trailer Park Boys skit to close this episode of Extra. That is the first two episodes of Wrestling Society X and Wrestling Society X Extra.
It's a fun-ass promotion.
Yeah, it rules. It's, and again, listen, when the episodes of the show are 20 minutes each and paced as absolutely insanely as they are, it's very, very hard not to get something out of all of them.
I've now seen the musical guest list for what's to come.
Mm-hmm.
My God.
You're hyped for all these people as commentators. You'll never see the musical guests, but you'll see the commentary.
Some of these I don't know, but some of these, like, there's some like significant acts here.
Yeah. That were broken by Wrestling Society X.
But it's like, you know, 3-6 Mafia and Black Label Society are pretty, like, decent names. But, like, later on we get Good Charlotte.
Yeah.
Pitbull.
Yeah.
Newfound Glory.
I imagine all that was the MTV connection stuff.
But yeah, for sure. But it's, I think it'd be cool if we saw more, like, more networks try and get into the wrestling space.
Just, it was like the brief period in TNA where Billy Corgan was like, let's have a bunch of cool license music.
Yeah. For people who can afford that shit. Well, it's like, you know, I think everyone's been kind of waiting for the moment when Disney gets involved in wrestling at some point, just because they have their fingers in everything.
You'll just have She-Hulk showing up?
That'd be sick. Well, they are doing, like, a Lucha show that was announced at AAA, but, you know, it's just kind of like, I would like more of that to show up every now and again, you know?
You want more of these big media conglomerates starting wrestling companies, is what you're saying.
I mean, why not? Money in
it's cheaper than buying WWE.
It's anything but WWE, I'll take, you know.
So that is episode one of Review It For Her, where we have covered the first two episodes. We'll be back.
What a great name.
In 2 weeks, yeah, person nailed it. Actually, I don't think I actually shouted out who actually came up with the Review It For Her name, did I?
Let's see who will get there first.
That was Jordan Goldberg at Rage Cage, Cage with a K, 14 on Twitter, came up with Review It For Her. Absolutely perfect. Knocked it out of the park, Jordan. Well done.
And thank you for going a legal rights to the name for when we merchandise it.
Yeah, that was in the subtext of the tweet, thanks.
Yeah, we got that implication.
Hello there, Future Carrot again. Again, a reminder, if you would like to listen to the full series, all of the episodes are available at patreon.com/GetAmirTNHad.com. You can listen to all 5 episodes of Review It For Her. You can listen to all 4 episodes of Global Force Gold. You can listen to the 6 episodes, actually more. I think there's like 9 episodes of Gift of the Pods at this point. You can listen to 10 episodes of Monday War Games. You can listen to 8 episodes of Guerrilla Radio. You can listen to currently like 27 episodes of Rain Takers, I think. You can listen to 14 episodes of Ringcat Kings. You can listen to one of our, I think, 51 watch-alongs, maybe more, because I have some unnumbered, available all patreon.com/getting me. And you can get all that for $5 for all of the shows. If you want to watch longs, it's $10 a month. I think it's a pretty good deal. There's a lot of audio there right now, and you can get it all for like the one price. You just listen to it all in a month and give us some money. We'll be back, as I said, sometime in August with the 50th episode of You've Got to Be Kidding Me, covering Victory Road 2006.
My name is Tyler Fornes, and I am one of the co-hosts of The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy AEW podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcasting Network. We take a broad scope approach to the world of All Elite Wrestling and the entire universe of Tony Khan. We talk about the big matches, the big stars, the promos, the storylines. And we also look at it from a big picture perspective. How are things going to change over the course of the next 10 years with AEW still in the picture? How are companies like WWE going to adapt and adjust to AEW? Are they going to be a similar way like they did with WCW in the late 1990s? Will there be a counterpunch? We talk about all of that and more on The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy every week on the Voice of Wrestling Network.